you see it's actually the complete opposite. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. We don't have to be poor in spirit. We don't have to be mourning. I mean, when you stop and think about it, it doesn't actually make sense. Does Jesus want us to go around all the time as if we're just more in mourning or in grief? That's not actually what this is. It's a list of blessings. It's the blessings that people experience when they encounter Jesus' presence, something he calls the kingdom of heaven. Wherever Jesus is, that's the kingdom. So these are the blessings that we experience when we encounter him. Look at the first four on the list. People who are poor in spirit. People who are feeling downtrodden and hopeless and a real failure. People who are mourning, who are grieving, whose world has changed because they've lost someone they love. People who are meek, maybe because they're poor or maybe because they're unemployed or maybe, I don't know, whatever the reason, they've no self-esteem. They've no self-respect. People who hunger for righteousness, people who are desperate for a better, safer, fairer world to live in. How many people do you know who are feeling right like that just now? I mean, maybe you're feeling like that yourselves. Come to me, whoever you are, says Jesus, and you will find blessing. If you're feeling poor in spirit, if you're feeling downtrodden and useless, you will find a place of welcome where you're valued. If you're grieving, you'll find a place of hope. If you've no self-esteem, you'll find a place where people acknowledge you and love you and value you. If you're afraid, if you're badly treated, if you're struggling because people are being unfair to you, you will find a place where everybody is fair and just and kind. My kingdom, says Jesus, is the place of blessing. And this blessing is not about obeying rules. It's not about how good you've been. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something you have to deserve. It's free. It's free to anyone who comes. And if you look at the Gospels, if you look at the stories of Jesus, if you look at the people Jesus meets who come into his presence, you'll see that this is true. You meet people like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee guy who everybody hated because he was a cheat and a swindler and a traitor to his country. And everybody hated him and he hated being himself. And he meets Jesus and Jesus says, "Don't worry, you can start again." And he does. There's a guy called Bartimaeus who'd been blind. We don't know how long he'd been blind for, maybe even from birth. And he was begging in the dust. And he meets Jesus. And Jesus gives him his sight back again. There's a woman who's caught in adultery. She's been unfaithful. Think of all the pain that happens when someone's unfaithful. So she's dealing with all this, plus there's the shame of it. Everybody's found out. And she's dragged in front of Jesus. And Jesus gives her forgiveness. And that's why everybody loves Jesus. Even the most unexpected people, when they come into his kingdom, when they come to his presence, find the opposite of what they normally get from everybody else. The meek come, the homeless, the outsiders, the sick and the sorrowing, and they experience a place of welcome, a place of acceptance and forgiveness and healing and peace. That's the difference Jesus makes. That's my experience too. Because whenever we encounter Jesus, we experience what it feels like to have God not as a judge, not as an enemy, but as a friend, someone who loves us. Listen to what Jesus himself says to his disciples. This is in John chapter 15. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Through Jesus, we can be friends with God. And my greatest hope is that in time, Ellis grows up to experience that friendship too. But the thing about friendship, if you stop and think about it, is that friendship brings with it its challenges. Having experienced the blessing of his company, Jesus then challenges those people to follow him. Friendship is not about rules, it's not about duty, it's not about earning brownie points. What sort of friendship is that? Friendship is about love and trust and commitment and loyalty. And as friends grow closer, they begin to share the same purpose, they begin to share the same values. And that's what this is all about. Follow me, says Jesus, and you will become like me. You will be like salt. You will be the salt of the earth, spreading my goodness wherever you go. You'll be like light. You'll be shining out in the darkness, showing that the world, that there's an alternative, that there's actually a better way, a fairer world, a more loving place. Over the last few weeks here at Liberton, we've been tracing our spiritual roots. It's all part of the fact we're celebrating 200 years, 1850 to 2015. So we've looked at our spiritual roots and we've traced them back to the Celtic saints, the sort of wandering missionaries of the late mid-dark ages. These were followers of Jesus and they took his kingdom wherever they went and they took it as far as Edinburgh. Today, the one we're focusing on is a saint called Aidan. Aidan was originally from Iona, but he founded the abbey at Lindisfarne on the Holy Isle, Northumbria. And through his ministry, lots of people went out telling people about Jesus, including Cuthbert, who brought Jesus as far as Edinburgh. And if Aidan had a motto, it'd be the same as that of Jesus. It'd be, keep it simple. Keep it simple. He didn't just tell people about Jesus. He lived his faith out in his life. Listen to what it says about him. He never sought or cared for any worldly possessions. He loved to give away to the poor who he chanced to meet. Whatever he received from kings or wealthy folk, he gave it away. Whether in town or country, he always traveled on foot, unless compelled by necessity to ride on a horse. And whatever people he met on his walks, whether high or low, he stopped and he spoke to them. And there was something about his honesty and simplicity that made him very approachable. Aidan's gentle personality and spirituality was the key to his mission. He had an infectious holiness, which, far from making him remote and otherworldly, enabled him to mix with all kinds of people and understand their world. They could believe in his message because he was a person whose lifestyle was transparently attractive to all who were seeking God. So here we have Jesus' call to keep it simple and to keep it real. And here we have the example of Aidan, one of our forefathers. And we see the impact that he had on those around him. And so we have to ask the question, what is God saying to us today about our faith and about how we live our lives? You know, there are a lot of unhelpful images around these days of what it means to be a church. Most people out there still think a church is a building rather than the people who happen to use that building. Even more misleading is this notion that you can only go to church if you're a good person. That's not what we believe here. We're not here to show that we're good. We're here because Jesus has invited us to follow him. We're just a bunch of friends, fellow travelers, on a journey of faith and service. And what happens here on Sundays is a bit like stopping off at an inn along the way. You ever been on a long journey and you pulled into the roadside service station for a bite to eat? That's what this is. Well, if you want to be old-fashioned, you can call it a wayside inn. It's a place to stop and to rest and to recharge our batteries, because otherwise we know we'll quickly run out of steam. In fact, it's my favorite image of the church. The church is a wayside inn, the place where people stop off for spiritual sustenance. And here at Liberton, we're not the only wayside inn on the road. There are plenty of others here in Southeast Edinburgh. The menu may vary, but the purpose is always the same. It's a place where we can come together to celebrate the God who is our friend and to learn what he has in store for us on the road that lies ahead. So here's the challenge. And these are my final words, I promise you. Here's the challenge. If you think church is only for good people, then just have a look around. See, we're all sinners here, but we know God loves us. If you think religion is all about rules, then spend some time with Jesus. Get a hold of a Bible. Start in the middle. Find out more about him. It'll surprise you. And if you want more purpose in your life, then why don't you take up his challenge to follow him? And just see what a difference it can make. So we pray. Loving Father, please forgive us when we make following Jesus too complicated. When we forget that it's not about how good we are or all that we achieve, it's more about your grace and your love and all that you've done for us. And the power of your Spirit which you freely offer us to help us on our way. And if there's someone here today who has been stirred, whose heart has been moved, who's heard your voice and known it's for them, then our prayer is that they would truly know your blessing. But for all of us, Father, once again, we recommit ourselves into your hands. You're the God who is our friend, and we know you as our friend because of Jesus. So in the days to come, please enable that friendship to grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.